always been my friend, and I have loved you forever. You will walk with me into the wind. I will be your coat of feathers.
Welcome to Be Simply. This is She, and I want to thank you for joining us in this moment. We are connecting to our inner work, self-love, and these segments are entitled Self-Love, not to promote narcissism, but actually to reacquaint people with being self-reliant and feeling everything they need to contain their way of being from within. And what that does is it enables us to serve and feel at ease as we flow through life here on planet Earth. So tonight's segment is dedicated to dropping the I, and as we let in with a little random rab, best friend, and that is a little reminder that that best friend is you. You will be with yourself. You were here when you entered, and you will be with yourself when you exit. So what's the benefit of dropping the I? We're going to talk about that this evening and what the result will be and how to do it, and just point out a couple easy ways that you can do this, and then also hopefully share a few things that can show you how it'll make life a lot easier to navigate. The first practice that seems to be an ongoing theme with what I put out in these segments and on Sunday night segments when we do silence, for those of you that tune in on iTunes or this broadcasting channel, for you, those of you in Houston, you can connect different ways. You can go to iTunes and connect to those meditation segments. So meditation will help in this process of dissolving the sense of I. And when we dive in a little bit deeper and discuss what the I is there for, we'll understand that it's more of a wayfinding device, not for ourselves but others. So when we soften that big I that sometimes comes out, we have a better understanding of how to be at peace with everything that is. We have a better understanding how to get along with others. We have a lot more compassion and love, and it's a lot easier. It doesn't mean that life will always be picture perfect, and that's okay. That's what it keeps it interesting, but it allows us to glide through it a little bit more effortlessly. So this meditation will assist you in all of that. It'll help heal, it'll help regenerate, it'll help reduce stress, and it will help you drop that big I. So what I thought we'd do to just ground into this segment, we're gonna take a little journey with an artist named Kataro, and this segment's called The Clouds. And what's really beautiful is to just think for a moment about the mind, and that most of our suffering, this is a clue as to where I'm going with all of this, occurs in the mind. Not most, all of our suffering happens in the mind. So the goal, if there were one, of meditation is to empty the mind, clear the mind, so that you're at ease, you're just flowing. And yes, you might bump into something that's not so comfortable, but you can meet it with that clear mind. Or you might bump into something that's really joyful, but again, you won't necessarily allow yourself to get swept away, similar to when a child eats a bunch of sugar and rises up and then crashes down. Sometimes when we get so caught up in enthusiasm, then we have to come down from that place because it's not sustainable to be at that high all the time. And that can help people understand why addictive habits happen, because they want to sustain something that's not sustainable. So as you dive into this segment with Kataro and the clouds, I just want you to imagine in your mind's eye clearing that mind, clearing above the clouds, going to the mountain peak and just sitting there and being at ease. And allow yourself just to be. Allow yourself to drop the masks, drop the identity, and just be. And see if you can just find that still point of nothingness. full space, let go of wanting to hear or know anything, just be. And as we come back out of it, we'll dive a little bit deeper into that letter I and circle back around to the space that you're going to visit right now. Without further ado, let's just take a deep breath, breathing in and out, filling the body with air, especially if you haven't been breathing deeply today, allowing anything that's been causing you any disturbance to just settle down and wash away as you tune in to the clouds.
Thank you.
just gently bringing your awareness back to our conversation and feeling into maybe where the mind hopefully did not go, but if it did go somewhere, just feeling into that and feeling into the arc of that composition. And that's a beautiful mirror for the arc of our mind sometimes. It's very theatrical and then calm. And when we rise up at those high vistas, we can tend to see things a lot clearer, puts things into perspective. The grandeur is so high that things all of a sudden seem very small, literally and figuratively. So this identification that we have with ourself, if you go into a large canyon or a valley where you can't see anything for miles and miles away, or if you're an airplane in the middle of nowhere looking down, you start to have a sense, potentially, of how minuscule our perspective is compared to everything else that exists. And it doesn't mean to minimize it, but it also can give us perspective to have a little bit of a softer gaze, have humility, and realize that self-expression is at full throttle here on planet Earth. And some of that is wayfinding, and other parts of it is pure self-righteousness, gluttonous activity, all these things that are beautiful expressions of the human experience. However, if you are interested in really moving beyond those charades and masks that you might like to put out there and really get intimate with self, you'll realize that you are your own best friend and that you can self-generate from inside. You no longer need to be anything to anyone, even to yourself, that the way you are is beautiful. And when we get more comfortable with that space, the mind usually rests in that emptiness and that open space, and then we're able to show up and be of service to others in every given moment. No matter what you're doing, you can do it really well when you're not so consumed with that ego and that sense of self. Now, people will say, well, it's important to have an ego. From my perspective, the I, when someone says, what do you do? I'm a doctor. I'm a writer. The I is a wayfinding device. It helps others understand maybe what you do, maybe what they can call on you to help them with. And it can be a conversation starter at times, more than not. And I think that's about it. It just kind of lets you know. And then you have to go deeper. Even if I said, I am a doctor, you might want to know what kind, you might want to know how long I've been practicing, you might want to know all these other things that are beyond, maybe connected to, but beyond that initial statement, I am a. And so when we let go of that, and just know, wow, I'm going to use that I to help me identify where I'm going, what I'm looking for. And then you know, like you want to get on a plane and you need a pilot. The person that says, I'm a pilot, hopefully he or she is and can get you to where you're going, is a wayfinding device. When that identity becomes so inflated, and we might see this in fame, we might see this in many different locations, from the schoolyard to being a teacher, to being in a political arena, to being a construction worker. When it becomes so inflated, it typically is a sign when someone is so self-absorbed that they don't have kindness and awareness for others first, and then themselves second. We start to just have a little bells and whistles going off for ourselves, that if we become so self-absorbed that we're not comfortable with ourselves, that we actually have to put others down, or we have to talk about ourselves so much to make ourselves feel worthy, those are all bells to self saying, wow, something's off kilter here. I'm having to put out a lot of identity just to feel self-worth, or just to feel loved, or to feel comfortable in this situation. And so that's the first point. You want to just check in and see where you're at and what you are doing in that moment. if you're an arena of fame, you know, soften that gaze if you can. Have humility. There's people that can learn from you, might want to emulate you. And if you can hold that with deep integrity and not a lackadaisical attitude or entitlement, you'll have a much different experience. However, you're the driver of your own ship, so you get to decide what that's going to be like. So ultimately, when we soften that big letter and we empty that mind, and that's where that I is predominant, is in our mind. It's nowhere else. It actually isn't even in the mind, but we create it in the mind. It doesn't exist anywhere in you. And then when you move on from this existence into a next one, you're going to have a new identity. So there's going to be a new I, potentially, or not. So what happens when we drop these conversations and these labels and these perceptions and these projections of who we are, we actually begin to stop suffering. So by fully engaging with doing your work, you can do your part and help the human species by ending suffering. So a lot of people might go on peace marches, they might have NGOs, they might think horrible things about this, that, or the other. And really, if they start practicing from within and really engage in stopping the suffering right there where they are, end suffering there first, then wow, you're going to go out in the world and start doing things a lot differently because you'll be at ease. And that feels really good. So if you're motivated to do your part, if you tend to like to do things for others, think about, hey, I could actually stop suffering by ending these conversations and these over righteous projections of who I am, and realize, wow, I could do something else and really get in tune with what I need and cultivate that. And the result, when you start ending this suffering, meaning if you are really held tight to your identity, is that you will have happiness. And some people might say, well, wow, I'm really proud of who I am, I'm happy. And that's great, fantastic. And if you ever get to a point where you realize that you're not truly happy, you can dig a little deeper. If you're at happiness, fantastic, you might find another layer of happiness. What happens in the mind is we grasp for things. So again, with that I, it's usually associated with some kind of identity or wayfinding device. So you let people know, I'm a mother, I'm a sister, I'm a daughter, whatever it might be. You start identifying yourself with these words. And then what happens is we want maybe to be a wife, so we grasp for that. We grasp to find that person to be our partner. Or we might want to be a mother, so we grasp for that. When we start grasping for these things, ultimately, it's like having a preconceived idea of how something's going to go, an expectation. They're not always met, which leads to suffering. So if we just let go of all that and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to trust in the flow of this perception of the reality I live in, and I want to really be in that more just peaceful state. I want to be in that happy state. I don't want to go on this roller coaster ride of suffering. And if I commit to not wanting to be on that roller coaster ride of suffering, I might grasp a lot less, and I might still encounter some suffering, but I might meet it with a different perspective. So these are all things to contemplate. So why don't we take a little pause and finish that song from Random Rab, My Best Friend. And I want you to think about yourself. Are you happy with yourself? Can you call yourself your best friend? Have you been respectful to your mind, body, and spirit? And if not, how could you do so a little bit more eloquently in your everyday life? And when we come back, we'll dive into a few practices.
You
always been my friend, and I have loved you forever. You will walk with me into the wind. I will be your coat of feathers, golden paths unto the ocean. I will always walk with you, flooding rivers of devotion. I will always give to you, 'cause you're my best friend. In the sunshine on my knees, begging, baby, let's dance, so I can bask in what you bring, 'cause it feels so good to be in my body now that I've given to you, my devotion. Waking birds into the suddenness, I hear your voice inside my mind. I can always trust in you to tell me that everything is doing fine, 'cause you're my best friend. In the sunshine on my knees, begging, baby, let's dance, so I can bask in what you bring, 'cause it feels so good to be in my body now that I've given to you, my devotion. Sunshine on my knees, begging, baby, let's dance, I will always keep, so I can bask in what you bring, 'cause it feels so good, flooding rivers to be in my body now that I've given to you, I will always my devotion.
So maybe you arrived at a little bit more clarity about what you might need in your life, what you've been grasping for, what identities you want to associate yourself with, and where you would like to surrender a little bit to that big letter I. So as I mentioned, the letter I is a beautiful wayfinding device for others to understand maybe who you are. And really, you know, we're here for such a short time and then we continue, and so we're building upon things. So it's a really difficult question to answer sometimes, that I question. When we start to empty the mind and let go of that letter, we start to see and feel and sense things that can't be described in words, so I'm not going to try to do that right now. However, it's a beautiful exploration if you are inspired to do so, and if you want to go a little bit deeper beyond this broadcast, please feel free to email me at suzannetoro@gmail.com and can share some potential readings and help guide you, if you like, to go in a little bit deeper so you can start to really enter into a space of understanding more than just the mundane that we do day in and day out. And it's fine if you get comfortable in that. It's perfectly fine. Like I said, if you're happy, you're good, everything's flowing, yeah, stay there. Stay there. That's good. And then it's typically when we have that upside down sense of reality that we start to say, wow, something's off kilter, I need to look. if you're thinking everything's good, but I do want to look because I want to go deeper and I want to understand myself better, that's a great place to enter too. Sometimes a little easier than when you're in the spin cycle, as I would say. So when we know ourself, we ultimately know ourself, we become really autonomous in a way, and we can rise up from within and know how we're here to serve. So this is what really happens. We reach to that crown, our highest self, and through meditation, that's one way to engage this process, to really get in touch and intimate with self and become that best friend. Then we start to disengage from the ego, and we set a direction, not an obsession. So people can become obsessed with how they look, what they eat, how much they work out, what degrees they have, what certificates they have. They can pontificate about truth, fact, fiction, nonfiction, all these different things. And oftentimes might do this from a place of service or really grasping. So when we disengage from that, we set a direction, then we realize, wow, I'm here to do my best, to do my part by being the best I can, meaning that if I empty that mind and I don't have any suffering, then that helps out my friend next door, helps out my family because I'm not going to be fighting with them as much. I'll be laughing more. I'll be creating happiness versus drama and misery. So this is where we start to see the experience that we're no longer reacting to things that we used to react. This is where we start to see the light bulb go on and say, wow, I don't have to react that way. I was just telling someone I was working with today that wow helps out a lot when we want to disengage. Our ego can get ignited. So another practice is one, not to push others. It's not always easy because what happens when our ego gets ignited, we push against other people. But instead, if you use the wow factor, you can just look around and say, wow, that's interesting. I don't need to get involved. I can have compassion. And then that keeps that level of the next practice, humility, intact, where you can just be easy. There's nothing to prove. And it's a lot easier when you don't have to be so many things. It's a lot easier when you don't have to carry so many things. It's like, wow, I can just like go to the grocery store and get some food for my family, make a beautiful meal, enjoy a conversation, can hang out with my friends and laugh, play music, do all these just really easy things, and I don't have to carry this weight of being a certain way or wearing a certain pair of pants or having my hair done a certain way or looking like someone else that I don't look like at all. So if you're inspired, you can first, as mentioned, disengage from the ego in the sense of set the direction. If you have a sense that you're supposed to sing or write, just set the direction and stay focused there. You don't do it because you're wanting to be on the cover of a magazine. You're doing it because you know it deep in your heart and you're flowing with it. You're creating from there. Meditation is, there's really no way around that. Whether you sit and do nothing, sit and practice, it really helps shed those layers. So you think about that, and you can start with walking meditations, active meditations, but just to learn to sit and be is really valuable to this process. Then allowing the eyes to soften and reminding yourself not to give that push back to others. And then ask yourself, how can I serve? What can I do in this moment? How can I serve this situation? And if you want to keep a peaceful harmony, or if you want to really guide the situation to its highest expression, just ask, how can I serve the situation? How can I serve myself and others in this moment? And you will arrive at some really beautiful things. So ultimately, what happens here is when we quiet this mind, we have this bubbling up of joy, happiness, freedom, and it feels really good to be in that place that you can pretty much go in all different directions and know that everything's going to be okay. So what we're going to do here is, as I mentioned, that freedom, there's a beautiful being that he's called Freedom Tribe, and he creates a lot of beautiful music that isn't quote-unquote well-known, but serves in the sense of pop culture, but is well-known within his community. And this is a perfect example, someone that is carrying medicine of music and speaks in a certain way. And there's no push, there's no righteousness, it's just there as an offering, and is delivered in a real humble way. So this song is called Red, Yellow, Black, and White, which connects us to that medicine wheel, to all directions. And allow yourself just to settle in and see if you can find peace and equanimity or a direction that you would like to face in this moment. And ask yourself again, am I ready to drop some of my eyes? And see where you go. Just gently breathing in and out.
Telling us heaven or hell that we're living in. And time will tell if your brother fell, would you lend a hand? The river is wide and the sun will shine. And I would not be surprised if it's the end of time. Where's the captain of the ship tonight? Who will lead us to the shores? Where is the captain? It's flowing through your veins. Every brother, every sister, everywhere, feel the time, feel it right now in the air, and learn to love.
So that was Freedom, Red, Yellow, Black, and White. And if you ask yourself, without even knowing anything about a medicine wheel or Native American traditions, you just ask yourself, are you ready for a new sense of self? Are you ready to let those things that no longer serve fade away in that sunset and cultivate something that will give you the opportunity to serve? When we do this, as I mentioned earlier, this is a gift to humanity. It's not a gift just to yourself, but it's a gift to humanity because there's less grasping, there's less clinging, there's less push energy, and that feels a lot better. And not just for yourself, but for everyone else involved. So one last practice, and then we're going to ease out here, is to think about observing yourself in every moment and say, wow, am I ready to do my part? Am I ready just to take one of these practices, whether it's meditating, disengaging, and, you know, setting that direction, staying on course, don't get distracted, asking yourself the questions, how can I serve, and really welcoming in, not pushing or humility, any of those things that jumps out at you, practice one of them. You don't have to practice all of them. And if you're inspired to do your part and to stop suffering, then I would love for you to bring in this observation aspect of self to say, wow, I have this opportunity to start observing myself when I react. And it's not going to be so comfortable when you do it. I can speak from my own experience, because as you go into this process, you get really comfortable with the best friend humility, and you realize when you overreact, you realize when it's completely engaged and you go too far off the course that you're focused on, and you bring it back, you self-correct, you realize, wow. So just bring in, if one of those other practices doesn't excite you in this moment, you can start to observe, and that's a good starting point. When you start to observe how you are, who you are, that's when you go, wow, am I really this? Do I feel good about that? And if you do, fantastic, say thanks, say good job to self, please do. But if you're not, when you recognize that and peel back those layers, you start to observe it, all those things that you've been grasping at, all those things that you feel like you're without, you will suddenly realize that they're within your reach. You didn't have to grasp, you didn't have to push, you didn't have to engage anyone else's ego to get it. You realize that, wow, I need some food, I can go get it myself. You realize, wow, I love myself. I don't necessarily need to be in a relationship. I'm really good not in a relationship. And when that right relationship comes along, the right one, not the wrong one, when the right one comes along, it's just going to be effortless, and I'm going to enjoy it a lot more than the one I grasp at. I'm going to feel a lot more content in that moment. And guess what? Your friends will hear a lot less drama about your relationship when you're comfortable in your being. You're comfortable in your skin, as Xavier Rudd says. So just decide, hey, I'm going to go ahead and just observe myself and move from there. We're going to exit out on this note of two songs. One is called Ego by Here to Here, and it's exactly what the title sounds like, but gives you a little nice synopsis about what we've been talking about, and is a beautiful place to dive in. And then we're also gonna hear a little air guitar. It's good to mix things up. It's called Don't Mind Me, and I think this is a little tongue-in-cheek for what we've been talking about, but a beautiful way to exit out. So if you have questions, you have feedback, you want to dive in deeper, please feel free to send me an email, reach out, and I'm happy to hear from you. In addition, just remember, everything you need is within you. Find a nice grassy knoll, take a little rest, sit on the earth, and be with yourself for a while and see what happens. Until next time, this is She signing out with a full heart, a soft gaze, a deep bow, and a namaste. Be simply.
ego. What happened to them happy days? I'm so amazed. Where did we go? We decided to grow. Blossoming into this brain that's insane when it thinks on us all and absolute is the range. You got a problem with your ego. You got a problem with your mind. You got a problem with a problem. What? You want to solve them all the time? Time, bro. You see the time is now. I said love, yo. Don't need to take a bow. I heard some stuff, though. But this is whack by far. Said this is whack by far. It's like my heart telling my blood you gotta stay in the vein. Don't even think about an interest. This is not your domain. Man, that's the silliest shit I ever heard. It's a joke. Fuck up. The single story about to go up. It seems like I'm wrestling with ego. Fight, fight. That's the only mode I really know. But when I stop, breathe, take a look around. Ain't nothing here but ever present holy ground. Now, I'm back to the start. See it with new eyes. Living from the heart. The birds, the bees, infinite galaxies. Every single second is a natural possibility.
Silence all the way. Well, don't mind.